Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for February the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2017. And the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, the checks and balances put in place by our founders, absolutely brilliant. One of the great ways to restore the republic, we reject revolution but stand for a peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby on your radio. Now, we had an interesting little tidbit that I want to talk about. We talked about it a little bit last hour. Rush Limbaugh says one way Trump can conquer bogus media. And in that article, he talks about how the media is not friendly with Donald at all. And they're super unkind to him. But Rush thinks he has the answer, Kurt. And I want to get Rush's response. And then I want to talk about this just a teeny bit. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you, Sam. So he gives these suggestions. He says, when I boil all this down, the fact is Trump doesn't have anybody helping him.
Now, again, I mentioned right before the pause last hour, at the end of the hour, he doesn't have anybody helping him. Is that by design, though? Or well, is that just a mistake? Because, look, I'm here to help Donald. And nobody can tell me that they don't know that I'm here to help them. I've interviewed no less than 30 or so top Trump surrogates and insiders. Okay, they know full well that I'm here to help. Now, I'm not telling you that I need carte blanche access to the Donald. I don't need just to be invited to the White House for steak or anything. But you would think that I'd have a way to at least report and get a beat on what's happening. But the more Donald is involved in the presidency, the less access I seem to have. Is that a mistake? I don't know yet. But I'm telling you, that's very telling.
It's a great point, Sam. And Rush Limbaugh continues. He says, and I don't mean to portray him, you know, talking about Trump, as helpless. Don't misunderstand. He says, you know, Obama can go out and say and do whatever he wanted, and the media is backing it up and supporting and making it look brilliant and normal all day long, all night long, all week long, all month. With Trump, whatever he does, it's portrayed as insane, dangerous, risky, uninformed, stupid, or what have you. Limbaugh said.
Not to mention a national security crisis and or racist.
Yeah, he goes on. He says, who's out there countering that other than some of us in the alternative media?
But it's Rush Limbaugh is one of the guys defending the Donald in the alternative media. Okay.
That's what he says.
I mean, I feel like I'm taking drugs when I hear that kind of stuff. It's like, what? But so far removed from reality, it's beyond comprehension.
He says, but it's a never-ending onslaught, and there has to be a plan for this, he said. Then the article Bob Unruh writes, the solution isn't complicated. He quotes Rush again. He says, that's why I think Trump ought to continue to go out and do rallies. I think Trump ought to go out and continue to draw 20 to 25,000 and demonstrate. Let the pictures show that the pictures the media is creating are bogus and not representative of public opinion, he explained.
Yeah, so he's right, though. We could do big town halls. We could do updates. We don't need to necessarily go to certain locales and fill arenas necessarily, though, as president. There's ways to do that. But he's right in that he's got to take his message straight to the people. Twitter's a great way. New media is a great way. But rewarding your friends in the media. Now, even though I didn't vote for Donald, even though I have some concerns about Donald's chances of doing what he hopes to do, partly because I don't know Donald well enough. He's been in big liberal, big business, big money circles for a long time. But whenever there's something good that the Donald does, I endorse and support based on principle. And all I'm telling you is, you know what? Those who have been fair to Donald Trump ought to get a chance to report the details And right now, we're not being given that chance. So I think you ought to have big crowds to tell the tale and skip the mainstream press. But I also think you need to depend on good, friendly, capable reporters. You know, we've been more interested in the who, what, when, where, why of a story. And if Donald is transparent, if he really wants to make the change he wants to make, he has nothing to fear from us, Kurt. We'll defend the constitutionality of his efforts and the national viewpoints of his efforts all day long because they're good for America. They're good for God, family, and country. Anyway, I appreciate Rush pointing this out. I think Rush is onto something. I don't know that Rush will go far enough in his reality check, but the idea that Rush is not part of the mainstream press is laughable. So there you have it.
Little tiny bit more, he says, but that still puts the onus on Trump. This is Rush being quoted by Bob Bunrat. He says, if I were Trump, frankly, I'd be kind of ticked off that I have to do that. What more do you want from me? I won. Now he's faced with people whining and moaning. He's not doing things fast enough, or the Congress isn't doing things fast enough.
Well, that's a fact.
Congress
isn't even supporting Donald in the things that he's tried to do fast enough. That's another point that I would get at is we need to be able to beat Congress over the head until they start, you know, taking up these issues. They promised they'd get rid of Obamacare. Now they're waffling. They promised they'd lower taxes. Oh, we're not going to take that on until way down the road. They're melting down. They need to have some courage like Donald has had, and they need to support him in it, and we can help that happen, Donald. But you got to give us a chance to do that.
Good point, Sam.
All right.
You got it.
James Edwards
with us.
I
figured you might have something to say about it. You know what I mean, Sam?
ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Sam, so much to talk about, even after you and Kurt, the first salvo there this hour with media. First of all, great to be back with you. It seems unreal that it was less than a month ago, still just a couple of days shy of a month ago, that you and I and Kurt were in Washington for the inauguration of Donald Trump. We were there just feet away when he was sworn in. That seems like that was a year ago. So much has happened in the last 3 or 4 weeks, but it's still actually just a few days shy of a month. It's incredible. I'm still trying to catch my breath after hearing you report that Rush Limbaugh considers himself to be part of the alternative media and not part of the establishment. But with that being said, talking about the media versus Trump, all Trump needs to do is to continue to do exactly what got him elected president. He needs to continue to treat the media exactly how he treated them throughout the campaign. The media will do no more or no less to Trump than they've already done throughout his run and through the first few days of his presidency. They are going to oppose everything he does, no matter what it is, no matter if it's something that they would agree with. It will be called racist. It will be called sexist. It will be called intolerant. It will be called belligerent. It will be called silly, stupid, whatever. They're going to oppose everything every time. So he has to know that. You do bring up a great point, though, Sam. Why has he not reached out to more favorable media? I think Alex Jones got a bone thrown to him. But this should be repeated now. And anytime this issue comes up, this radio network was listed as one of the top 25 right-wing, this was their terminology, although I don't really run from the word right-wing. It's fairly accurate. Right-wing media fixtures responsible for Donald Trump. Now, we were listed alongside other names on that list were Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Ann Coulter, Bill O'Reilly. So this was a who's who, and there we were.
They've even got our picture plastered everywhere with Ann Coulter that Donald took for, or that Kurt took for us.
At the Republican National Convention, that's absolutely right. But the point is, this was not our compilation. This was a major media outlet's compilation of the people that they felt were most responsible for Trump. They opposed the other people on that list. They opposed us, but yet here we are on that list. So, you know, it's not about who gets the credit, who gets the praise, who gets the adulation, but when you have a president and an administration that is universally condemned by the press, it would seem as though perhaps he would reach out to those few favorable outlets that are out there and supporting him, and then, of course, here we are.
It's beyond imagination what's happening here, and I believe, again, if Donald really wants to have make a difference, I think Rush is right. He needs to take his message straight to the people, but he also needs to really endorse the people that got him there, and he needs to not fall for the lies that we're all racist, that we're all enemies, that we're all a problem, that we're all etc. And I'll give you an example to prove the point. Looks like, I guess, there's an Under Armour problem for the Donald, Kurt.
Well, that's a great point, Sam. And the Under Armour guys, the CEO really likes Trump, but the big stars that he has that promote his product don't. For example, the NBA superstar Stephen Curry, who is, they call him Under Armour's most prized sneaker pitch man. He told the Mercury News, he said, "I agree with that description." This is the description where his CEO of his company called Trump an asset. He said, "I agree," but he said, "if you remove the it." From assets.
They say the chief executive of Under Armour's Ford Donald, but his athletes aren't let the fireworks begin.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so the bottom line is we need to get away from this idea. The Under Armour executive loves Donald Trump, but a lot of his athletes and pitchmen, if you will, advertising partners, promotion guys, don't. And what this executive needs to do is simply say, look, you can either, one, leave your politics out of it, athletes that are working for me, or you're gone. Okay, I'm not here to tell you what you got to believe, but I'm telling you that, you know what? I am the executive here, and we believe that Trump's fine for the nation, and we're not going to tolerate your creating political meltdowns for my company. And I personally think you get good, honest people that could promote the reality that would be fair and honest. And if that doesn't happen, then these executives need to have some guts. What we don't want is Under Armour to capitulate to these liberal, extreme, belligerent athletes that all hate the duly elected president of the United States of America. And we need to reject everything being so political that nobody can work together on anything. We need to stop that. Donald could take the lead. Working with the new media, taking center stage, is one of the great answers. Taking his message directly to the people is one of the great answers. But a few key executives like the Under Armour guys, why don't they spend a little bit of money with us to help promote and to tell the tale of freedom? And Tom Brady thinks of Donald Trump as a good friend, but a lot of the other athletes don't, and that's kind of the problem. Anyway, enough of that. Chris, Utah, you're on the radio, sir.
Hey, guys, great show. Is James still on with us?
Yep, go.
Hey, James, I just want to give kudos to you about it, buddy. You've got a lot of courage. I listen to your show every Saturday. Keep up the good work.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for calling in.
Go ahead, James.
Thanks for sharing that with me. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Chris.
You bet. I love you, buddy. But anyway, I want to comment on the Paul Joseph Watson article, and I know this is going to rain a little bit on your parade, guys, because you're Trump supporters.
Hold on. Why do you keep saying I'm a Trump supporter? That's not true.
Well, I know there's an exception with you and Kurt, Sam, but for the most part, you guys are – and I do, too. I want to support him.
Well, here's the deal. Whenever Trump does something right, I support it. Whenever he does something wrong, I reject it.
Right.
And just like I would anybody else, though. And I want to make that very clear, because to me, it isn't about people. It's about principles. Anyway, go ahead,
right,
sir.
I have yet to see him do something or propose something, maybe with the exception of the wall, that will restore our country to constitutional principles. But when he does so, I will support him. I would suggest to you, the listeners, that Donald Trump is the president of the United States because the powers that be want him to be there.
I agree with
that. Ron Paul and Harvey Dent, I don't know if you know who Harvey Dent is. He is a world-renowned economist, are predicting the burst of an economic bubble within the next 4 years. It's a terrible time to be the president. That's why they didn't want Hillary to get in. Are you guys familiar with that prediction?
Yes, we are. And I understand that, but I've heard of economic predictions of doom and gloom since I was born, and that's been 50 years. So I'm not saying it can't happen. They certainly, we know from the historical reality of fiat bankers that they boom and bust cycle economies. There's no doubt about it. So it can happen.
Right.
It will happen. It's a matter of when. My problem with that is we're always waiting for the boom or the next shoe to fall, and oftentimes it doesn't. And so even though I believe in the general predictions that that will be true, the timing I'm always very hesitant on because we get burned when we predict it and it doesn't happen. They make fools out of us. So points are true. The timing is in question.
Right, and I'll go out on a limb, and I will predict it will happen within the next 4 years. And you know that the powers that be are globalists. They want to discredit Trump, and this is a golden opportunity for them to do this. I predicted this 4 years ago, not that I'm elevating myself. It was too obvious to me, and I'm surprised that more Christians have not caught on to this. They want to discredit Trump, and the only way they can do that is if he is exactly where he is in the presidency.
That's
so watch
right.
out for that. I just don't see why other people are not looking for this. And it's not as if he's trying feverishly to restore our republic to constitutional principles. I don't see that.
Well,
if he builds a wall.
But again, you got to give credit when credit's due, though. If he wants to get rid of Obamacare, you support that, right?
I hope he does.
Okay, so what I'm saying is he wants to then have fair trade, not free trade. You support that, right?
I support that, yeah.
Okay, so the devil could be in the details, and we're going to watch for that. But whenever he's advocating for something good, you've got to give him credit, no matter what you think of him personally.
Yep, and I prayed and I fasted for him for 3 days. I hope that that works out. I did my part. Now it's up to Trump to do his part.
Amen.
And he has tried, though.
He's already done the best he could to disassemble Obamacare with what executive authority he has. But he stopped short and said, I got to wait for Congress to do the rest. I agree with him for the most part. But we've got to have our Congress critters do their job, too. We can't leave it all in Donald's hands. And on one hand, you'd say, well, he has more authority. He could do more. But he's already being criticized for using too much authority. And you know, where that line is and how you get along in that complicated political environment is very tough.
Okay. Well, there's a point at which you have the moral authority, whether you're the president, Congress, the judiciary, or just a citizen of the United States, to declare the fact, hold on, I've got to get out of the situation, to declare the pre-existent fact that man's law cannot override God's moral law. I can declare the fact that the IRS is unconstitutional or that the Federal Reserve System is a bogus.
Yes, and whether we think Donald's tax plan is perfect or not, he's promised he'll lower taxes. Let's see him do it. But right now, he's come out of the gate saying, I'm going to release my details in a couple of weeks. But Congress says we're not even going to deal with it till fall.
But again, lowering taxes is way down on the priority list. You should reduce expenditure because when you lower taxes today, you simply increase them in the future. It's actually a tax increase, you think about it, because now I have to pay those debts with interest.
Well, you're right about
that. See how that's deceptive?
You're right about that. Well, Donald says he's going to reduce expenses, too. Let's see if he can get it done.
But I've got a list of 21 things that he should do, and so far he hasn't done one.
Did you write up what he should do and send him to Donald?
Good idea. You're right.
Did you do it?
I don't do that, right?
I actually wrote a public document of what Donald should do, and I released it and got it actually in Trump's hands.
Yeah, you guys are heading to
one of the most interesting things that I've seen him do, at least, is when it comes to the pro-life kind of stuff. Now, you know, I certainly would go further and faster and all that kind of stuff, but it sure was a breath of fresh air to see him, basically take away that money that's been going to kill babies.
Well, you know, Kurt, that's a great. There's several things I want to cover. Some points that Chris has made, some points even that you and Sam were talking about before Chris's call. But I do want to chime in on that very quickly, Kurt. You're exactly right. Trump has actually done more for his evangelical base the first 3 weeks than all of these other people who pretend to be Christians in the Republican primary. They say they're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. They're going to cut funding, do all of this when they're in Iowa and South Carolina. And then once the primaries move past Super Tuesday, they completely forget their religion after that, or at least their so-called religion. But Trump does deserve credit on that for sure.
He deserves credit on the Mexico policy.
He was going to loosen the restrictions that bind evangelical churches to their 501c3 status. Now, most of these pastors, as Chuck Baldwin has said, ought to have just thrown off the shackles of that restriction already. But Trump is going to do it for them since they don't have the courage to do it themselves. So he has done well for his evangelical base that came out for him, I believe, something like 80-85% to 15%.
He's also, though, really the Mexico policy, or whatever you want to call that, where we reject the funding of abortion around the world, is key. He had the ability to do that by himself, and he did it. Again, now it's up to Congress to come to the table and deliver on some things. He just can't do it alone, or they accuse him of being a dictator. I don't support all the executive orders, but I do understand that some things need to be unwound, if you will. They've set literally a minefield for Donald Trump, though. And so in all fairness, it's going to take some time to navigate around some of those things. They're trying to lay traps for him at every turn. Now, I say that only because I'm convinced that it's true. That doesn't mean that I think Donald is perfect or that I'm, backing the Donald 100%. But whenever he does good, I'll support him. And when he gets rid of the Mexico policy so we don't fund abortion around the world, I support that. Do you, Chris?
Yeah, I support that. But you know what? He has more authority than just constitutional authority. He has moral authority.
Now, I understand, but no buts, though. If you support that, give him credit for it. Don't but. Give him
but
credit.
He doesn't need constitutional authority. He can just declare, for example, Roe versus Wade is unconstitutional and immoral on its face. It should not be acknowledged and recognized.
And he said he's going to put a Supreme Court justice who will stand strictly with the Constitution and their goals to overturn Roe versus Wade. He's basically stated that. All right. Thanks, Chris. Quick pause, ladies and gentlemen.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. 12 federal employees, including baggage screeners employed by the Transportation Security Administration, have been indicted on charges that could lead to life imprisonment for using their taxpayer-funded jobs to smuggle more than $100 million worth of cocaine from Puerto Rico's Luis Muñoz Main International Airport into the continental United States. It is estimated that as much as 20 tons of cocaine was covertly imported by the smuggling ring over the last 18 years. As summarized by AOL News, investigators believe that a baggage handler in the ring picked up cocaine-filled suitcases at check-in counters and put them into TSA X-ray machines that another suspect cleared. The handlers would then deliver the contraband to specially designated planes without being stopped by police or canine units. Up to 5 smugglers were used in each flight, each of them carrying up to 33 pounds of cocaine during the trip. 6 current and former TSA screening officers have been indicted as a result of the investigation. An Airport Aviation Services worker who was a baggage handler and ramp employee has been charged with making payments to TSA employees to advance the scheme. This could be seen as the most recent periodic reminder of the endemic corruption of the TSA and the entire federal airport security apparatus. More than a decade and a half ago, former Customs Inspector Diane Kleiman discovered a smuggling ring that had been provided with secure keys allowing them to bypass customs inspection. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
I know everybody thinks I'm just a defender of the Donald and I'm a supporter of Donald Trump. It's not really true. I am a supporter of whenever he does something right, though, and I'm going to give credit where credit's due. And what we don't want to do, there's a balance, folks, politically speaking, that you got to maintain in the public eye. And what I mean by that is Donald can't just declare things. If he does, they'll just call him a dictator. And the drumbeat, even from the inside Republicans, will be to impeach him. Okay, so if he pushes too hard and gets impeached, that doesn't solve the problem at all. And so, you know, the problem that we have is we don't know when he's really backing off because he almost has to, politically speaking. Yes, he should claim his moral authority, but how far can you go? You've got such a hostile, hate-filled group. The scriptures teach us, biblically speaking, you know, while in the way with him, you know, you go along. You agree with that adversary while in the way with him. Else he might, you know what, do you more damage than good. And so we need to be very careful when we're in the den with the lion or in the lion's mouth, so to speak. It takes stratagem. It takes a careful hand. It takes progress. We've got to be very careful of that, folks. And I don't mean to apologize for Donald Trump, but I do mean to point out a reality in the situation that he's in. James?
All right, Sam, lots I want to say. Just very quickly, some bullet points. Going back to Steph Curry in the previous segment, part of what has gotten us into this horrific situation in America is corporate America and this bread and circus mentality that we've got. People like Stephen Curry, no one cares what entertainers have to say about politics. No one cares what movie stars have to say, what singers have to say, what professional athletes have to say. And that was proven beyond any shadow of a doubt with the election results. Donald Trump was elected president with 100% of the entertainment establishment against him, pretty much. So to Stephen Curry and all the crybabies out there in entertainment, go pound sand, as you would say, Sam. I do think Trump should have rallies, though, as was discussed previously in the program, because I know he's busy. He's busier now than when he was a candidate, to be sure. But those aesthetics are very powerful, and it's the only thing that's going to break through this iron wall that the media has got, this iron curtain that the media has got. Now, I want to thank Chris for his call and his kind compliments for supporting this network and our shows specifically.
Just real quick, too, James, one other reason for Trump to have those meetings is it's a way he can kind of get out with the people instead of being stuck in there with all the insiders and the kingmen all around him. I think that's one of the key things about getting out there.
100% right, Kurt. 100% right. You've got polls saying that Donald Trump's polls numbers are so bad, but yet on his most controversial, if you want to call it controversial, enforcing our border laws, restricting immigration or refugees from terrorist nations, I think it's like 60-40 in favor. So I'd sure like to see how these polls are being compiled. If they're as accurate as the polls on Election Day before the votes came in, they're not very accurate at all, and I think Trump can prove that by going out and meeting with the real people out there in America who do support him. Basically, America supports Trump. The media and entertainment do not. But now, Sam, this is what I want to get to. Let's let our hair down here. Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who is a co-host of my program, he served two tours of duty in Vietnam. He's a grizzled war veteran. He's called the Bombardier because he's bombastic, and he's paid the price. He served this country in horrific situations, the likes of which people like you and I, Sam, couldn't even comprehend. And so he's earned the right to speak out. And he said something on my show last week during the third hour, last Saturday, that I've actually considered more and more. He made mention of the Alien and Sedition Acts put forth by President John Adams back in the founding of this country. Even all the way back then, the Alien and Sedition Act, in part, allowed the president to deport anyone in the United States who was not a citizen and who was suspected of treason or treasonous activity. So Eddie was saying Trump needs to just run roughshod, run through all of this, lock up people who are advocating for treason. I said, well, if you do that, you would be locking up half of Congress and about 90% of the lobbyists on Capitol Hill. I said, what happens when you overstep your bounds and you are impeached? You just mentioned impeachment or the prospect of Trump being impeached.
You know, it's interesting, James, that nobody talks about impeachment when it comes to those judges, though, right?
Well, that's exactly right. So this is the question, Sam. Now, this is a hairy situation. If you can argue effectively, and frankly, I think you can, that people who are advocating for illegal aliens with no background checks to come in, from people from terrorist countries to come in, if you can argue that that is, in fact, treason, could you then argue that Trump has the power to lock up these people? I mean, if it's been done in our past...
All right, so let's back up for a second.
Abraham Lincoln, who I think was a thug and a tyrant, Abraham Lincoln locked up entire state legislatures who went against him. Now, that was, I think, overstepping constitutional bounds, to be sure, but he's considered one of our greatest presidents, not by me, of course, but it has happened by many presidents in the past. Can Trump... I think we're at a precipice here. America, as envisioned by our founding fathers, doesn't exist if the people who brought forth the Constitution don't exist, and those people are people. The founding stock will not exist in this country as a majority in 50 years. I think the stakes are that high.
All right, so let's back up and break down.
Can Trump lock up members of Congress?
Let's back up and break down the arguments of what you're saying. Number one, I think treason is a very high bar. Because when do you have the right to disagree with laws that are on the books, whether they're constitutional or not? Even if you agree or disagree with something that's constitutional, you have that right to disagree. You have that right to advocate and have your free speech and your freedom to peacefully assemble and all those things. Even if you're wrong, even if you're against the Constitution, you have a right to be a socialist in your heart and in your mind, if you will. You have a right to advocate for your beliefs. So where does that freedom begin and where does treason end, if you will? And I submit to you that treason is an incredibly high bar, and I wouldn't go that far. However, when you say that people are undermining the United States, when people are, what we need to do is just judge everything by principle, not by people, and by act, not by opinion. And what I mean by that is if somebody breaks the law, then we need to have the appropriate law and the appropriate courts and the appropriate due process to make sure there's accountability for that. And that's one thing lacking in America today. The checks and balances in America are brilliant. And so I don't think Donald Trump needs to lock everybody up. But if somebody commits a violent act, like destroys a cop car, buddy, they ought to go to jail. They ought to have an absolute trial. They ought to have their due process, no question. But you know what? We need to throw the book at those people hard. Okay? We need to crack down on the violence happening in America because other innocent people are in harm's way. But when we start going so far as to say that we're going to, you know, I'll give you an example. Let's say a sanctuary city. You cannot crack down on those sanctuary city officials and toss them in the clink, even though what they've done is wrong and violates the law, because for the last 40 years, we've advocated for that. Ever since just after World War II, Eisenhower had the wetback doctrine, Don't think I'm a racist for bringing this up. It's factual. Go study history, folks. Come on. I'll take you on any day on these subjects. But I'm telling you, when you have that, and then they turn away from that so hard for 50 years, and now you got these ignorant public officials that are endorsing what they think to be right, what they've been taught to be right, what they've been. In other words, you can't change it overnight. You've got to give time. You've got to make changes. And the best thing that the Donald could do is start to defund these things. And as Chris wisely said, spend less money, decrease expenditures, and create accountability over time. You can't do it overnight. So I don't support the locking up of everybody. I don't support Donald playing it too heavy of a hand. I'm convinced they stand for the right principles, and before you know it, right will come around. You got to be patient. We didn't destroy America in a day, and you won't fix it in a day either, James.
You didn't destroy it in a day, that's for sure. But Trump is the first president since maybe James K. Polk, at least the first president in 100 years, that I think has the best interests of the American people at heart. Ronald Reagan is a decent president by the standards of the other presidents, but by the standards of what a president should be, Ronald Reagan was just okay. I know that's the litmus test, the bar everybody holds presidents to that are conservative. Donald Trump, America's been in a steep decline for about 100 years. Donald Trump has 4 years, maybe eight, to change it around. He just doesn't have the time for people to all of a sudden come around to the correct way of thinking. Yes, these things, these sanctuary cities, this anti-American ideas have been percolating and marinating for a long, long time, but we don't have equally that long before it's all lost.
Well, and that's why I advocate for the things that Donald needs to do more important than anybody else, you know, understands, in my humble opinion, is this. We've got to do the things that will let God... Let God know that we're on his side, that we have not closed the door on God, that we have not turned our back on him. And that's why I say the best thing you can do is advocate for pro-life coming out of the gate. You start protecting the most innocent among us. The whole purpose of government is to protect life. And if you start getting rid of abortion, getting rid of the funding of abortion and those kind of things, you start to back out of unconstitutional, immoral, godless wars, unjust wars. You start to really advocate for peace and be a leader for peace. You really start to stand for pro-life. You really start to let the churches teach from the pulpit so that we can bring back the Black Robe Regiment and those kind of things. Those are the things, in my opinion, godly things that can make a bigger difference than almost anything else. And in that, you will buy time because God will be, God will know that we're on his side and we can receive blessings from the author of liberty when that happens. I believe that's some of the most important things we can do.
He's made some nice overtures on that, which, again, we're talking about the first 3 weeks here, first 3.5 weeks. I think he's done well on that, and I've been very pleasant, not surprised, but I've been quite happy to see the movement he's made on that issue. Most people don't tackle social issues at all once they're in there, unless it's social issues to the left, like pushing through homosexual marriage. But what I'm saying is, Sam, you're talking about time, 4 years, maybe eight. All the lobbyists have to do is buy off enough congressmen and senators and then fall back on the media's complete...
Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. I'll respond to James because he's got valid points. But again, there's things that we can do, huh?
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I smoke because it's a habit. It's very hard to quit. I've tried.
My wife smokes. It's not allowed in the home. It's not allowed around my children. I just know it isn't good.
My husband hates that I smoke, and I smoke outside.
It irritates her a little bit, but I think she sees and understands what I'm trying to get across to her, that it's not only bad to her, but it's bad to my three beautiful daughters and my two sons.
My dad gets upset with my mom because she smokes and he doesn't, and whenever my mom goes and smokes, she has to go smoke outside.
I don't think my mom should smoke because it's really bad for you and it could hurt you really bad.
I do think there is a correlation between parents and kids. The parent smokes, the kids think it's okay for them to smoke.
Sometimes all you need is a small reason to quit.
Yeah, I love my mom very much, but I still wish she'd stop smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so James, are you saying that then Don should just start tossing folks in the clink?
Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm glad you asked that question because I wanted to make it clear. And I'll say something also. We're talking about supporting Trump. Of course, I appreciate and agree with what you're saying. We will support anyone who does right when they do right, and we will oppose anyone who does wrong when they do wrong. We're not going to arbitrarily support or oppose anyone just based on who their name is or what they are. But I will say this after saying that. I did support Trump above and beyond that. I supported him on a personal level. And the reason I bring that up is because, of course, as you well know, Sam, the Trump campaign denounced me by name on at least three occasions. It was like Peter and Christ. And yet my support persisted because of the issue. So if anyone had a personal reason not to support Trump, I think you could say it would be me. But still, my support persists. What I'm saying with regards to this is that America is at the 11th hour. This is not hyperbole. I'm not trying to be sensational. I really think that if the demographic trends persist for another 30, 40, 50 years, as they have been for the last few decades, that the America that we love is gone forever. Yes, principles are a big thing, but these principles, these people coming in from the Middle East, do you think they're going to preserve and protect the Constitution? It's not in them, Sam. That's just not the way their culture is. They don't have a culture rooted in Western civilization and rule of law and the things that are near and dear to our hearts. Only our people have that. And so what I'm saying is this. If it is that serious, and I believe it to be, no, you don't just arbitrarily go and begin rounding up people who oppose you or dissidents. But if you can make an argument that is constitutionally sound, Donald Trump's first and foremost objective as president of the United States is to preserve and protect the Constitution of this country. If you believe that it is, in fact, treason and subversive for members of Congress to advocate bringing in people from terrorist nations, bringing in illegal aliens, completely changing the core fabric of America, if you believe that that is treason, and I agree, that's a debate. That's a debate that would have to
be. And I agree it's immoral, but I would not believe it's treason.
In a constitutional premise, and if the American people agree that, yes, that is treason, what I'm saying is the precedents throughout American history have been set time and time again by sitting American presidents that, yes, you can lock up members of Congress, you can lock up members of the legislature if they are in violation of the Constitution. And do you believe, Sam, that there are not people in the United States Congress that are guilty of treason? I know that there are. And I'll tell you another thing. Do you think the American people would really, I'm talking about the American people outside of Hollywood and New York, do you think the American people would object to Donald Trump if he presents a constitutionally sound argument? Do you think that they would object to him locking up members of Congress, judges who are ruling unconstitutionally, even lobbyists and journalists? I don't think they would.
I think that you've got an immoral people in America today, and I don't think they care about God's law or the Constitution at all. And I think we've got a very, very tough situation in America. There's no good answer when the people are immoral. You know, we were told we have a republic if we can keep it, and it was based on the morality in the people. And you cannot divorce God's law from the freedoms we have. You'll never do it. And I think that there's certainly people in Congress that are treasonous, but I'd be very careful when we throw around the treason word. It's kind of like proving fraud. It's a very, very, very high bar, and I'm not saying it's never done, but you got to be very careful when you start locking everybody up, because if Donald gets impeached, even if wrongfully so, or we create anarchy and or a civil war in America, I don't think that brings us closer to the principles of liberty at all. Kevin, Florida, you're on the radio.
Hey, Sam, James, Kurt. I just wanted to throw a curveball into this hard-hitting conversation you guys are having. All y'all on a roll. It's really good, but I'm going to lead this with you, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to your responses. Without repentance, there is no remedy. And I mean that word repentance in the secular definition and the spiritual definition. I just want to leave that for the show. Great job, guys.
Amen. Thanks, Kevin. Right. Kurt, your response first.
Well, I'm going to repent. No, I'm grateful for Kevin's, I do know that all of us, need repentance on a regular basis. I love what President Trump did when he broke the Guinness Book of World Records with the number of prayers during the inauguration. I pray that he and all the good people of America, and even the bad guys, pray for the best to happen in America and the world, because we have a duty to do that.
Amen.
This time in all our lives.
James, your response?
Well, of course, everything that we do in our personal lives, and I appreciate that caller for bringing this back to the forefront, and certainly we want our elected officials to agree with us that everything that we do needs to be Christ-centered. So, no, I'm not saying that Trump becomes a dictator and that Trump goes out and just starts rounding up and locking up political dissidents or people that oppose him. But what I am saying is that the situation is dire enough to where, if you make that argument, that it's at least an option that should be on the table. Otherwise, you are going to be stymied for 4 years, maybe eight, and then the progression, to use their word, it's interesting what's called progress now. But after 4 or 8 years of a hiccup with Donald Trump, the ball keeps just rolling on into basically to hell after he is out of office.
And understood. And I agree. And to Kevin's point, I will say this. Kevin, you're right as rain. If we repent and turn to God, he will heal our land. He will protect us. 90% of our problems go away by us embracing God's law and doing our very best to receive his blessing, and he's promised it to us if we do what you suggest. And so I completely concur 100%. But let me give you an example of how hardcore of a landscape Donald's dealing with. And I agree with James that we're out of time, but what Donald needs to do is befriend the good guys, and he's not doing that well enough. For example, denouncing James Edwards 3 times is nuts on parade. It's catering to our enemies big time, and that's got to stop. But I'll give you an example. Kellyanne Conway got a tweet from a so-called white supremacist.
I was reading this.
I don't even know who the white supremacist is, but here's the deal. Kellyanne got a tweet that says, love you, and she wrote back and said, love you back, and et cetera, et cetera. Headline, Kellyanne Conway now doesn't know who retweeted a white nationalist from her Twitter account, writes Carlos Garcia. So now you got a Mexican guy, Carlos Garcia, or some, Latino, which I'm okay with, writing about this white supremacist story. We don't even know who the white supremacist is. Kellyanne Conway now trying to distance herself from this as if she didn't write it. I don't know if she wrote it or not. I don't know if her. But again, if you're not careful in your effort to distance yourself from, quote, white supremacy or this racist lie, then you're going to get into a situation where now Kellyanne says my Twitter account's compromised. Pretty soon the whole government's compromised. Pretty soon, and if you're not careful, Kellyanne Conway is going to get the axe. At some point, they've got to start to stand up. And she just needs to say, that's right, I wrote back, love you back, and I would to you liberals and you ne'er-do-wells that are trying to destroy the country too. I'd write love you back to anybody who writes something good and we need to not fall for it, James.
Well, you know, this is the whole, my show's been on the air for 13 years, and it's bread and butter is this topic right here. Why is it immoral and wrong? Of course it's not, but why is it presented as immoral and wrong when Europeans or European Americans or white Americans or however you want to categorize us have a pride in our culture and ancestry and traditions and language and faith, et cetera. That's evil, but everybody else does it, and it's not only allowed but celebrated. This, I was actually reading this right when I was waiting to come on the air about an hour ago, reading this exact story. And so it was the most innocuous tweet you could ever imagine. Somebody wrote, love you, and she wrote, love you back, happy Valentine's Day. And then, of course, some enterprising no-good journalist.
It reminds me of taking a picture with somebody if you're a celebrity, or it reminds me of if you're in a rock concert and you're playing guitar and a girl screams, I love you, and you whisper, I love you back. Okay, it means nothing. It's not an endorsement of anything. It's just a kind gesture on Valentine's Day. But again, this is the environment that they find themselves in, is my whole point.
Somebody in the Trump administration does it, then you're responsible for knowing everything that person has ever said, done, or thought. But when this journalist went into this Twitter account, he basically saw one passing thing saying interest that this Twitter account user had was white identity, nationalism, everything. That was it. So what?
Do you know who the person is that we're talking about even?
No, I don't know who they are. I think it's a girl. I think it's, I mean, according to the picture, it was some college-age girl at the University of Kentucky.
Okay, so some white supremacist college girl said, I love you, Kellyanne, and she wrote, love you back, happy Valentine's Day. And now the whole administration's derailed about it. Kelly's backing away and melting down.
What happened? Look, and there was nothing in that account. I mean, they went through that whole account and saw two words that they didn't like, and then that was the whole story.
All right, one last piece, because we're almost out of time, that I got to get to.
Sure.
There's a Latino representative. His name is Adriano Estellet. He tries to join the Congressional Black Caucus. And they're trying to decide if they should let him. And then we're called the racists.
Well, we had this incident a couple of years ago here in Memphis. A Jewish congressman named Steve Cohen tried to join the Congressional Black Caucus, and they wouldn't let him. And, you know, but that's okay, right?
You and I are the racists because we brought it up.
Wow, you're not black, you can't come in. You're not allowed, you can't come in. You're not black, you're Jewish, you're white, you're whatever, you can't come in. And not a peep was said. I mean, it got reported on that he was denied, but the piece was like, well, of course he was denied, he's not black. Well, try doing that if you're white.
Well, and the bottom line, though, is my whole point about this is that's the hostile environment we're in. Until we get a handle on the press and can report the truth unequivocally, and that's why Donald needs to really turn to us and help us. If we don't get that done, Donald will never win.
There's only one way to get it done, Sam, and we may have covered it earlier, but it has to be done the right way.
Turn to God and repent and have Donald go to the media that's actually telling the truth. Until we get that done, we don't have a prayer. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being alongside for the ride. This nation shall endure.